Monday morning. It is time to check the agenda for the week ahead. And it's especially important you keep updated this week. There's a lot to keep a handle on. We're joined by Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Your word for the week?
I'm overseas.
Overseas? Well, that's pretty safe.
Pretty much. Yeah, but everything is coming from overseas, except for maybe, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go.
You sound like
there
one of those cruise missiles, Charlie.
Also, Noelle King, managing producer for The Takeaway. Noelle, your word for the week?
Survival. I think in Japan, on a very basic and visceral level, and then also in Libya, the survival of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, let's start in Libya. Obviously, what they're calling Operation Odyssey Dawn, for some reason, began Saturday with French airstrikes. But the U.S., British, and French aircraft and cruise missiles have all fired on Libyan targets. Okay, now they had said that the stated mission of the U.N. resolution was to protect Libyan civilians. It was to impose a no-fly zone. But obviously, they're not just targeting air defense systems. They're also targeting places like Gaddafi's compound in Tripoli. So does that mean they have expanded the mission from the original U.N. resolution?
They are not going to say that that's the case. And I think for the rest of the week, we will expect to hear the same thing out of the Pentagon and from the president, which is, again, this is going to take days and not weeks, and that our mission remains the same, which is to impose this no-fly zone. I think what we'll see by the end of this week is a debate over, to some extent, what imposing a no-fly zone and protecting civilians and the allowance of humanitarian aid actually means. I mean, this is what we're seeing really here is a fog of war at this point. There's a lot that's very, very, very uncertain, and I think for a while we'll hear days, not weeks, but we will see big changes by the end of this week.
All right. And give me the distinction that the U.S. is making. They say that we're not leading this effort, but we are in command.
Well, I mean, again, that's one of those semantic issues where you think, what exactly are they talking about? But I think, you know, the focus is on this is an allied mission. This is not the United States. This is not going to turn into another U.S. adventure in the Middle East.
Or an occupation.
Hope.
All right. You mentioned Japan as well. It's been 10 days now since that earthquake hit, causing the tsunami. There's now more than 8,000 people confirmed dead, 12,000 still missing. It could go much, much higher.
Yeah, the death toll is expected to rise to about 20,000 by the end of this week.
All right. And then we have this complication of them detecting higher radioactive, normal levels of radioactive activity in foods like spinach, milk, and in the water as far away as Tokyo. So at this point, you know, the Japanese government has a lot of advice. They're coming in to the air pretty much daily to inform people about things. But I'm wondering, do you think the confidence of the Japanese people in their government has suffered because of not just the disaster itself, but especially the nuclear crisis?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's no question about it. I think that, you know, we heard from our Japanese colleagues at NHK and Asahi, some of the Japanese broadcasters and print services last week. We had an interesting discussion and they said, look, right now people are in such a state of panic that nobody's really talking about questioning the government all that much, even though people do feel that there are things they're not being told. People are in a state of panic. But there was a really interesting development today when these higher levels of radiation were reported in the foods and the certain greens and milk and water. Immediately you saw the Japanese Farmers Association go right after the government and say, you need to start testing the food and you need to make it clear that there is or is not radiation in our food. And that very, very swift and urgent reaction from that Farmers Association, I think, is indicative of the way this is going to go in the next days and weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Charlie, another thing that could get worse is the economic situation in Japan. Although we had the World Bank come out and say that they think economic growth in Japan will only fall by 0.5%. Is that good news?
You know, I think what you're hearing is the sense of course, the economy there will suffer because of the shutdowns that have happened, of course, because the cleanup is still happening. The economy is very much on hold in a lot of ways. But I think there's a sense that the economy will grow in the months ahead as the reconstruction effort starts. The World Bank is estimating that it could cost about $325 billion to rebuild. That's money that 'll be spent in that country. So it's that strange thing that happens sometimes with disasters that there can be a growth period later on. I think that the big question here for the U.S. and for other markets and other economies is how long does this last, this problem with radiation that Noelle was just talking about? Does this spread to other areas? You know, we saw this last week, for example, that General Motors shut down one of its plants here in the United States because
of the supply chain.
Because of the supply chain.
Exactly what we were talking about a week ago.
And semiconductor issues, a large percentage of them are built in Japan. As one person said, if you're building an iPad, it's not like you can build it with 97% of all the parts. If you're missing just a few key parts, that'll prevent it from being made. So we're really just watching to see the supply chain, how much that's affected.
Well, you didn't mention iPhone, but I'm going to pretend that you did and transition directly into AT&T because this is pretty big news. I mean, AT&T has announced they're going to buy T-Mobile $39 billion.
CNBC was throwing around the number that that's about $1,147 per T-Mobile customer. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but this creates the largest carrier in the country, and
that's going to raise a lot of questions, I think, with regulators, because you know you're basically going from four major cell phone carriers in the U.S. to three, and really
this will take a year to be approved.
It'll take a long time to be approved, and in fact, what's interesting is that Deutsche Telekom, which owns T-Mobile, was so worried in a way that this wouldn't get through regulators, and AT&T was so confident that there's a breakup fee of $3 billion that basically, if this doesn't work, AT&T will pay T-Mobile that amount of money. They can't get it through. They are very confident that it will go through. They say that this will actually help consumers because the two systems are very similar. A lot of complaints about AT&T or dropped calls. The T-Mobile service would actually help them theoretically.
It's great for 4G, I understand. It'll increase the spectrum on 4G.
Spread it into rural areas. They're really playing that up to the Obama administration. But a lot of critics will say if you have greater coverage but you have fewer carriers, it's not a guarantee that prices are going to come down. In fact, it makes more of a duopoly in the cell phone
care. AT&T, a monopoly? Weird.
All right.
Wacky.
Well, in our last minute here, let's touch on what's happening in Egypt, because as we were saying earlier, this may have been the headline if not for Libya. It's the first major vote of the electorate in Egypt since Hosni Mubarak stepped down. Egyptians incredibly, with an overwhelming majority, approved the constitutional changes that have been approved. What's next, Noelle?
Well, those changes are going to benefit Egypt's established political parties, the Muslim Brotherhood and Hosni Mubarak's party, the National Democratic Alliance. The thing that remains to be seen is where the youthful opposition, those that are not organized into parties, what this means for them. Do they have a political future in Egypt? Because they will be playing catch-up at this point, trying to organize themselves similar to the Muslim Brotherhood and others.
Although on their Facebook pages, they urge people to support the constitutional changes. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're assuming there's going to be chances for further changes.
Bigger changes.
In the Constitution
later
on. Noelle King, a managing producer for The Takeaway, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio, our flagship station. That's your agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.